Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
F-I-E-N-D-S. Jen's friends.
Just friends.
Okay, after 11, every Friday, we go back over all the best calls and texts of the week, and it's called Jen's Friends, but today, tis Lottie's Friends, which means I've brought my buddies, Emma Power and Laura Fox, who are about to release the second series of their podcast, My First Ride. My First Ride was a bit of a car crash, actually. It happened at great speed. I lost control. I was facing the wrong way by the end of it. Is that what we're talking about?
I was literally like, oh my God, has she just called our podcast a car crash? And I was like, no, that's not what she's talking about.
No, it's not. It's not. How are you, ladies?
Good. Great. Thanks for having us on, Lottie.
No, thanks for coming on to talk to me about the week that was. Let's talk about something that got us talking during the week was on Wednesday, we heard an awful lot of stories about where people had lost or even worse, actually, where they had found their phones. I spoke about the fact that I, without thinking, my phone was in my pocket of my pants. I sat down on the toilet. Phone went into the toilet. I didn't even consider the fact that I had just done a wee. My hand just went straight in. That phone was getting, it was my baby and it was coming back out.
Same thing happened to me, but I was in a strip club in Malta.
What?
Okay. All right. Okay.
You just totally trumped me.
So, is this for daytime radio now, Laura?
Absolutely. I mean, like, you know when you go on holidays and, like, pardon the pun, but there's lots of strips around.
Yeah.
And you don't really actually recognise that you're in a strip club till you're in it. So it was before my friend's wedding. We were all over Malta. It's about 7 years ago at this point. Exact same thing as you. Phone in my back pocket, night before the wedding, and straight out. And I was so upset. Like that, had done a wee, everything. Hand straight in, I was trying to dry it out. Came out of the strip club and I was inconsolable. Walked into the strip club across the road where they were so lovely. They took my pee full phone and they found some rice and they put it in. It wasn't salvageable though. It just came over.
Is the rice thing a myth?
No, that actually really works. I've done that before. It really works.
So where have you lost
your phone? Well, my first time losing, well, not losing my phone, my first time dropping my phone into liquid was when I was about 15. I was lying on my sofa being an absolute slop, like sloth. I had my 3210 in my pocket, slipped out straight into a glass of Lucozade. I was addicted to Lucozade at the time. The phone was fine for about 2 weeks. And then I went to basketball camp in Dungarvan because forget your Irish college. I was all about the basketball camp. So I'm at basketball camp away from my friends. You know that age, you want to be texting all the time. Phone dies, right? So that was dead. That was gone. Couldn't fix it. But another time, Laura, we were out together. We'd been at the 2FM Christmas ball. I was running across the road in the lashing rain to get a taxi and my phone dropped into what I can only describe as the deepest puddle I've ever seen in my life. It was like a pond. It was that deep. And my phone went into it, turned off, wouldn't work. So I got home. Housemate was like, stick it in a bag of rice, put it into the hot press, stuck it in for 24 hours, brand new.
Yeah,
it worked.
Get over that came out that time.
So those 24 hours, did you feel cut off from humanity?
Absolutely. Sure. If I come to work without my phone, I literally am like, oh my God. Oh my God, the world is coming to an end. This is the worst day of my
ridiculous?
Life.
Ridiculous. You think you're going to get the most important call of your life that day, the day you've forgotten your phone.
That's the day you're going to miss the biggest job. That's the day that everything is going to happen, that your Instagram's going to pop off, that your friends are going to get engaged, like something's going to, and you're not going to be contactable. I was in a foreign country. I was like, people are going to think I'm dead. Yeah. I updated my Facebook status at the time, I remember it, and I put it with exactly that, as in it was like, lost my phone down the toilet.
Contact me here.
Like, you know, but then had no access to the internet, and I just remember my mother seeing that, being like, oh my God, are you okay? Because this was me and Brian's first holiday together and it just happened to be his friend's wedding too, so she'd no idea what I got myself into.
Have you ever lost a phone due to rage issues?
Yeah.
You were quick with that answer,
yeah,
Emma.
I have. Only once. And like, you two know me very well. You know I'm not a fighter, right? I try to avoid conflict as much as I can.
I talk about this an awful lot, but like, there's a lot of conflict that comes out of you too.
But once I was in like a pretty toxic relationship and he was really, really like wound me up so much that I threw my phone on the ground and it smashed to pieces. Yeah. Now, can I say I was like 18 at the time?
Something similar happened to me where I had bought my very first iPhone, had worked so hard to actually get this in my life. And I was on my way to Slane to see Eminem. I'll never forget it. And I had a massive fight with my ex and like so angry at each other. And I knew that the one person I could call that would really annoy him is Brian, my current boyfriend. So I rang Brian just to annoy him. And then I kind of got a bit freaked. I was like, oh my God, he's going to kill me for doing this. Brand new iPhone. Bear in mind, like, worked so hard to get this. Threw it straight into a field.
Why, Laura?
Because I was, I mean, it was a little bit lemonade deep, but also I was so worried. I was like, I won't be able to delete the call log. He'll know that I was on the phone to him. But Brian always regrets it because he said you were talking normally and next thing all he heard was this.
Gone.
I never saw it again.
Never saw it again.
I was back to like a 3210 or a Motorola flip phone for easily another 6 years after that. I never could commit to getting an iPhone because I couldn't trust myself with
one. But the old phones were indestructible.
Yeah.
You know, you could do absolutely anything with them and they'd survive. Your battery would last about 4 days.
Bring back the 3210.
Yeah,
bring it back.
That phone.
The Ireland women's team qualifying for the World Cup has been a huge, absolutely boulabus. Big, big, big good news story for the week. I feel like it really lifted people's spirits. Listeners were just so chuffed and so were the team. We spoke to the dads of some of the girls. We spoke to the girls themselves. Have either of you ever played soccer?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Lottie.
Okay,
because
go on, Laura.
I used to be the captain of the under 16 Milo 79ers girls soccer team.
Were you any good? If you were the captain, you must have been.
Excuse me. I was absolutely sensational at sending out text messages. That's why I was captain. It was because
she's a great organizer.
I was so good at organizing. It was the very first year that the team had been put together, and like it wasn't as established as like the GAA. So like the GAA, the training times were set up and everybody knew when was happening and why it was happening. But this was a great soccer coach of ours, Paul Reynolds, who had set it all up, and he goes, okay, you never stop texting, so let's hone that. And you can text out all the match times, all the actual like training times. I remember it as being the funnest time of my entire life. Like, we went on the greatest trips, we went to the greatest, we were astronomically so bad, like the worst of the worst. I remember we lost 8-1 before and we celebrated more than the other team because we scored one goal. Scored the goal. Thank you very much.
Did you stick with it?
I stuck with it right up until I was 17. The same with like all the GAA. I mean, I played camogie. I got an under 16 All-Ireland medal for that. I played Gaelic football. I played soccer. I went horse riding. I went dancing. I gave it all up as soon as I finished school. Because.
So do you think seeing something like what's happened with the girls during the week, how well they've done and how much people are getting behind them now, and it's the World Cup, man. It's a big deal.
It's
do you
huge.
Think something like that happening would inspire young women to stick with it?
I think so. I think if that was the trajectory that I could see, that there was more to it finishing when I finished school. But for me, everyone finished when we finished school. There was you didn't go on and play it afterwards. I know people have gone back and taken it up just for a hobby, but you didn't take it in a serious manner really, unless you went somewhere else.
I think so. In school as well, it was something that you kind of felt like you had to do as well. Like you had to be involved with sport in some way.
But this wasn't my school teams. These were all, I was involved in my school teams as well. These were my local teams outside of it. So I understand what you're saying. Had I seen the Irish women's team making it to the World Cup, maybe I would have went, okay, well, maybe I actually should like stick with this a little bit longer because it might get a little bit. It's fantastic. It's so amazing. Yeah. It's so fantastic. I'm excited for all the little girls around the country who are playing underage sport everywhere and thinking that that could be them one day because they've now set the standard that
absolutely.
That can happen.
But Emma, you're not really a soccer. You're more a basketball person.
Yeah. So
the legs. Yeah. Of course, the basketball person.
Believe it or not, and I'm not really a tall girl. I'm like 5'6". I was a forward in school. So I played school basketball. So I started when I was about 7 or 8 playing basketball. And then I went into secondary school. I played basketball the whole way through secondary school. Joined a club outside my secondary school. Played that as well. And then gave it up like that with Laura. I gave it up as soon as kind of school came to an end. I actually think I might have given it up in 5th year. Kind of, you know, leaving cert coming on or whatever. I was like, I just, between the social life and the stress, I just didn't have the time.
Yeah, but it's also, I think in secondary school, and you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, but girls can be a bit mean to each other.
Yeah.
I always remember there being that thing with the girls who were doing, who were on sports teams and stuff. They'd be like, oh, they stink. Oh, girls sweating. And, you know, there was a terrible...
Is that a Dublin thing?
Yeah, though? Not in my school.
Yeah, I just think everyone played. Like literally every girl in my year played sport. And it was because you kind of were just brought up doing it. So you just went on and you got out of class to do it. So.
I did get out of class. That was a big thing, wasn't it?
That's why I signed. I was on everything. I was doing athletics and everything. And we all know how much I hate running. It was like...
I went back as an adult then and played basketball again.
Did you?
I did. Only in the last few years. I went back probably about, when did I break my foot? 5 years ago. So I went back probably about 6-7 years ago, and I didn't break my foot playing basketball. But what I realised was, because I'm old now, the impact of like landing on the floor, you know, like there's a lot of jumping in basketball.
Yes,
it didn't
Emma,
do my lower back any favours. So I had to give it a rest.
I have to ask you about a call we had yesterday. This is just the definition of making the best of a bad situation. Yesterday, I was speaking with a woman who was left at the altar on her wedding day, but she decided to go ahead with the wedding reception anyway.
Good for her.
Go on. That is unbelievable. Yeah. So it is.
I mean, it is. For me, I've never heard of somebody making a better call in terms of a bad situation. Have you ever, I mean, I know you probably haven't got one as highbrow as that, but the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, so it involves the lemonades. So I went to London a few years ago, and do you remember there was this really thick, dense fog over Europe? It was like about, I think about 2016, 2015, 2016. And we were in London City Airport, and they told us that we weren't able to fly, and there was massive, massive delays. And we were in the airport, I'd say a good 5 hours at this stage, and everyone was wrecked and everyone was getting cranky. We were all in the same kind of queue. And I remember a friend of mine saying, I'm going to go over to the bar. She's like, we're not moving anywhere. I'm going to go over to the bar. So she went over, grabbed a few glasses of vino for us. We had them. Started to have a bit of crack, a sing song. Before we knew it, the whole queue was involved, and we just had a session in the airport, and it was, honest to God, one of the best days of my life.
I remember one that involves you and I, actually.
Yeah.
And it was Body and Soul, I think. God, it was nearly up there at one of my favourite festivals of
2019.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was just myself and Emma on the Friday, and then everybody joined us on the Saturday. And on the Sunday morning, we woke up and our tent was flooded. So everyone went home, because it was torrential rain, like from start to finish. When we woke up at like 6 a.m.
There's nothing worse than
a puddle. And we were kind of going, okay, what we
do? We're not ones to give up either.
So I got up and I went and I got us those unbelievable egg baps that we were addicted to that weekend.
Yeah.
So I got us two big toasties, came back to the tent, and I was like, oh, we just got to go for this. We got to do it, Emma. Well, we have never had as much crack in one whole day. We were soaked for the whole... It did not stop raining. Like, Lottie, when I say there wasn't even like a break in the rain, the only time that you didn't feel rain on top of you was when you were in a Portaloo, because all the acts we were going to were outside.
Yeah.
And I've never smiled as much looking back at the photos of us from that time. Drowned rats is what we are. And I still, like, out of all the festivals that we've been to, I've been going to
best
festivals
day.
For 13 years.
Yeah.
That was still, without a doubt,
what
one of the best
did they
days.
Say? There's no bad weather, just bad clothes.
Exactly.
That's well, it. We had both.
We had bad clothes. We were in shorts, for God's sake.
Good attitudes. That's what we had. We had bad clothes, bad weather, good attitudes.
And you had the egg baps.
We had the egg baps.
On Thursday, yesterday, we heard about Elon Musk's new scent, burnt hair. Okay. I had a little bit of a flashback to the days of when I used to iron my hair before a night out. Yes.
My mother used to do that for me. Before we had...
My mother
used to do it for me.
My mum was the opposite. My mum would smell my hair burning and I could hear her stamping her way downstairs to shout at me.
I, to this day, still think it was one of the kindest things that she's ever done for me, because I used to hate my hair. And I love it now, but I hated it so much. I was the only person in my entire year that had curly hair. Everybody else had this lovely, like, straight hair, no frizz. And this was before, like, GHDs and everything were out. And I just remember her one day going, okay, go on. And she straightened it all out, and I walked in and I was the absolute shit. Like, I have never felt as hot in my whole entire life.
But there was no avoiding that kink at the top of it.
Oh no,
there was no avoiding it. And like, your neck would be nearly broken because it'd be like this kind of, sorry, I know I'm on radio, so nobody can see me, head on the ironing board, this big scalding hot iron right beside your face. But by God, did we look good.
But like, yeah, but we smelt bad because you could smell the burn of the iron. Like, well, I cut off my hair anyway.
Oh yeah, no, it was singed.
It was not good. We started talking about smells that we love and we hate. Emma, what's your ultimate smell?
My ultimate smell. This is a hard one because there's so many. Obviously, there's like cut grass. I love the smell of cut grass.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great
love,
one.
Love, love, love that. Christmas candles.
Emma's dad gave me a Christmas candle the other day.
Yeah.
I called over for a visit to their house and went to go and wow her parents, Bernie and Paul Power, big shout out to them. And Paul Power left and he came back and he gave me a Christmas candle.
It's a bit rude for a Christmas candle.
It is not.
But what that shows is my dad really loves Laura. She's been accepted. She has. There's a smell that involves you that I really like.
Go.
Sorry, this sounds really weird.
Go on.
So you have a perfume, and I've said this to you a million times. You have a perfume that just straight away brings me back to being a child. It's kind of like a sweet kind of vanilla kind of smell, but it reminds me of, do you remember those dolls that were cupcakes? So they were cupcakes and then you turned them inside out and it was a doll with a dress. Do you remember
said
them?
She said, you've said this to me before. Yeah. I know exactly
and
what you're talking
every
about.
Every time you wear that perfume, I'm like, oh,
it's
lovely.
A vanilla coconut perfume. It's, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's, Sud Pacific, I think it's called. It's like, do you know what? It's a very random cheap perfume that I bought in the States, and I can't get it here. So when I find it when I'm in a different country, I stock up on it.
And Emma follows you around the office.
Emma follows me around the office.
I'm
Emma,
like, following her.
Okay, opposite. What smell grosses you out?
Oh God! So this is a smell that like I will never get over. So my friend, when I used to stay with her when we were younger, her mom and her aunt used to cook kidneys in the morning. Now we never ate them, but they'd have kidneys for their breakfast. And
that is vile.
Still to this day, I haven't smelled it since I was
what
like 13.
What does it smell
13.
Like? Describe it.
It smells like you want to vomit. Like, it's literally, I can't even describe it. It's just, it's rank. But it's one of those smells that, like, when you start to cook the kidneys, it's all over the house. Like, there's no avoiding it in the house. It stinks.
Oh, God.
So that, to me, is the worst smell I've ever smelled in my life.
Laura, what about you? Best smell?
Best smell is the smell, you know, when you walk into the house and you're just after hanging up your washing.
Yeah.
And you know that smell that hits you when you walk in the door and you're
cotton
like...
Cotton fresh
is it? That's why I have so many candles that are cotton fresh. And the worst smell in the whole entire world, protein shakers. Even like, I can't actually drink protein, but if you have ever left a protein shaker for more than an hour without opening it and
it's
cleaning
disgusting.
It, honestly, you may as well just evacuate the house.
I once spilled one on my car. So my car, until I got the seats shampooed, the car stank like protein shakes for weeks.
It smells like gone off farts.
It's disgusting.
It's really bad. It's rank. It is rank. So ladies, tell me, when is the new series out and what is it all about?
So the new series is out in, we're hoping in the next 2 weeks. So we haven't got an exact date for it, but we just spoke to our producer before this and he says it'll be in the next 2 weeks. It's still kind of in the same vein as the last series where we'll have guests on, but we've kind of mixed it up a little bit, haven't we?
We have. So myself and Emma will be doing our own kind of roundup, kind of like the Christmas special that we did last year that I know went down a treat. So it's going to be me and Emma at the start, and then we'll always have a guest on every single week. And it's all about the first in life. So that's what we absolutely love. It's just learning, because everybody has a first, like a first day at school. Everybody has their first kiss. Everybody has their first heartbreak. And no matter who these people are, everyone can relate to them. So that's kind of the exciting
part
about it.
I love it. It's called My First Ride. Where can everybody hear it?
Everywhere.
And can I just say, so season two is back in the next 2 weeks, but season one is up there and we've got people like, we've got
Vogue Williams.
The two Johnnies, we've got Vogue Williams, we've got Bernard O'Shea.
My favourite episode in the whole entire world, Marty Whelan. Imagine, I had to ask Marty Whelan who his first ride was.
So if you want to find out who Marty Whelan's first ride was, Laura and Emma asked him. It's My First Ride. You can get it on all streaming platforms.
Yes, all the streaming platforms.
Okay, and Anita, producer Anita, has just told me that she forgot about a protein shake under her desk for a couple of weeks. When she opened it, the smell was so bad that the floor had to be evacuated.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.